in this grand text. This is a grand text of Scripture, but we're just going to look at one verse, and it's verse 7. It says, but we have, 2 Corinthians 4:7, we have this treasure in an earthen vessel, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Let me read it again. We have this, what? Treasure. We have this treasure in an earthen vessel, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we move into this preaching part of this service, Lord, we pray that the singing was pleasing to you today. And Father, we love you. And Lord, we wouldn't think of trying to do anything without you. We pray that you would grant your unction of the Spirit in this service today, that as your word is preached, Father, that this message would touch somebody's heart. We pray that we would rejoice in you and what we have in you. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. Now, we're going to title this message just kind of a distinct kind of title. It says, the treasure in a clay pot. The treasure in a clay pot. If you look down when it says we have this treasure in an earthen vessel, if you look that up, the meaning of earthen vessel is a what? Clay pot. We have a treasure in a clay pot. Now, notice he says we have a treasure. So not only is Paul talking about himself, but he's also talking about the church of Corinth. He's telling them that they had a treasure in a clay pot, and he's saying, I got a treasure in a clay pot. And I want you to know something. If you're here today and you're born again and you've trusted Christ as your Savior, you have a treasure in a clay pot. And that's what we're looking at today. We're going to look at this treasure that we have in this clay pot. What is it? Well, it's mentioned twice if you'll look up in the text. Look up at verse 3. It tells you what the treasure is. And notice what it says in verse 3. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds. Hey, look at it. Hath blinded the minds of them that believe not. Sometimes people ask me, they'll say, Pastor, I can't believe a person can't see it. You ever say it? You ever hear anybody say that? They'll say, well, look at somebody that maybe sat under a lot of gospel messages or in a lot of hot church services, you know, where the way of salvation was made clear. And you'll actually sometimes say, I don't know how they could sit under that and not see it. Well, right there tells you why they don't see it. What's it say in 2 Corinthians 4? It's 4 and verse 4. The God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. They stand in need of illumination. And who illuminates, according to the book of Hebrews, is the Holy. What's it mean to illuminate something? It means to give it light. And what the Lord does, what the Lord, the Holy Spirit does, is He works on the inside of a sinner. And He turns your light on. And He gives you the understanding. The Scripture says in 1 John 5:20, He gives us an understanding to know Him that is true. So we have a treasure in a clay pot. We're blind. Before we were saved, we were blind to this treasure. We was blind to this salvation. But now we what? Now we see. Now, the treasure that he's speaking of, let's look down at verse 7. I'd like to talk about blindness a little bit because it's so true, isn't it? It's so true. That's what we were. And you know what? If it wasn't for God, listen to me, beloved. If it wasn't for God's grace, we'd still be blind. We would still be in our sin. We're not smarter than everybody else or more brighter than everybody else. God is the one that opens your blinded eyes. And that's why the writer who wrote Amazing Grace, that's the reason why he said, I was what again? Blind, now I see. Boy, I'd love it today if someone's light would be turned on and they'd see it and they would understand it and they would call upon Jesus' name and trust Him as their Savior. Well, let's talk a little bit about the treasure. You think we're talking about it already? Not yet. Well, let me go ahead and show you what this treasure is that's mentioned twice in this text. Verse 3 says, if our gospel be hid, or veiled, it is hid to them that are lost. See, it uses the term gospel. You see the gospel in verse 3? Then you see it again in verse 4. in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel. So it calls it the glorious gospel. And then he says in verse 3, our gospel. What is this treasure that we have today in this clay pot? That's how he's describing your body. You know, it's a good description of what our body is. If we came from the what? We came from the dust, if you go all the way back to the beginning. And now, today, what we have, walking around today, what we have is a treasure. Listen to me. I got a treasure in this old clay pot you're looking at this morning. And you want to know what that treasure is? That treasure is the gospel. And that's the power of God to salvation to everyone that believes it. The power of God to salvation to everyone that believe it. Darren Nicole has a treasure in her clay pot now. Isn't that a glorious thing? And you're going to see a picture of it in the baptism today. When you watch a baptism, you're watching a message. Did you realize that? When you look at a baptism, you're watching a message. And she's showing forth to you today the message that she trusted that saved her soul. Death, burial, resurrection. All God's people say it. What's that called? That's the gospel. That's the gospel. That's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes it. Trust it. Say, Pastor, why are you saved? I've trusted the gospel. And it has to be the right gospel. There's all kinds of false gospels. There's only one true gospel. And that's recorded in the book of 1 Corinthians 15. Let's turn there real fast. I don't know where I'm going today, but I'm going to get there by the time we're done. 1 Corinthians 15. Oh, I'm ready to preach today. I'm looking forward to this. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Paul received the salvation message differently than I did and differently than you did. Paul received the gospel direct. He received it from Jesus. He says he never received the gospel from any man, but he was taught it by the revelation of Jesus Christ. I wasn't taught it by the revelation of Jesus Christ. I was told the gospel from somebody. And you received the gospel from somebody if you've trusted it. He records what it is in 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. If you haven't got this marked in your Bible, it should be. This is the definition of the gospel Paul received. He says in verse 1, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel. He's going to tell you what it is. If you write notes in your Bible, write definition. It's the definition of the gospel, which I preached unto you, which ye also have received, wherein ye stand, by which ye are what? By which ye are what again? That's how you're saved. By which ye are saved. You're saved by receiving the gospel. If ye keep in memory what I preach unto you, unless you believed in vain. Now, the gospel is defined in 3 and 4. Everybody see it? Here's what it is. For I deliver to you first of all which I also received. Who did Paul receive it from? Jesus, direct. How that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried and he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Beloved, that's the pure gospel right there. That's what saves your soul. When I ask, and I ask it often, when somebody tells me they're saved, I always ask, why do you say that you're saved? Because how do you respond to that second question will tell folk what you're trusting in. It will tell folks what you're trusting in. If I ask you, are you saved, and then I ask why you say you're saved, you know what I'm wanting to hear? I'm wanting to hear that Christ died for my sins according to the Scriptures, and He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. I've trusted that message, beloved. That's why I'm saved. That's why I'm going to heaven. My sole hope of heaven is the gospel message of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation to everyone that believes it, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Can I ask you a question today? Have you trusted the gospel? You know what the gospel is? Because I just told everybody here what the gospel is. Have you trusted the gospel? You trust the gospel, let me tell you what will happen. He'll wash your sins away. Amen. He'll give you everlasting life, and He'll give you a home in the Father's house. And Eddie, I want to tell you something. We have that treasure in our earthen vessel. This is my earthen vessel. And you know what I'm doing? I'm carrying that treasure with me everywhere I go. And you know what I want to do? I want to share the wealth of it with other people. Oh, God's people say it. I want to share the wealth. I want other people to have what I have. Don't you? So everyone here today that's saved, guess what? You got a treasure in an earthen vessel. And you know, the Apostle Paul writes in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 6, talking about himself. He said he was poor. That means he was financially poor. He wasn't a prosperity preacher. He was financially poor. It says he was poor, yet he made many rich. Beloved, how can a poor man make somebody rich? Well, Paul had a treasure in his earthen vessel. And you know what he did? He shared that with other people. And the moment that they trusted that gospel that he shared with them, the result of that is they became instantaneously rich. What's some of the riches we have? You want me to share them with you? I'm going to anyhow. What's some of the riches that we have? This is a gold mine that I'm sharing with you. When you trust the gospel message, it makes you rich. It's a treasure. We have it in this earthen vessel, but we need to dispense it to other people. Y'all agree? We need to share it with them. Let me give you some of the riches. If you're here today and born again and you've trusted the gospel, guess what? You're rich. Paul says, we have this treasure in an earthen vessel. Paul wasn't rich financially, and most of the people of Corinth wasn't rich financially, but they were rich spiritually. I'd rather be rich spiritually than anything else. In the New Testament, in the book of Luke chapter 16, we're told about the rich man and Lazarus. It's a good story, isn't it? I like it. But in the whole moral of the story of the rich man and Lazarus is that the rich man was... Who was the rich man? Lazarus. It didn't show up till the day they died. You see, riches don't show up. True riches doesn't show itself until the day that you die. Poor old Lazarus, he had a hard... God doesn't promise His people an easy time here on this earth. He doesn't promise you that. I know a lot of God's people that's had a very tough time. Brother Lazarus had a hard time while he was here. He had some kind of disease all over him. Some people think he had leprosy. I don't know what he had, but he had sores all over him. I bet he stunk. I bet he didn't have any family either, because most generally if you had family in Israel, they would seek to at least take care of you. If you didn't have no family, what you did is, and you couldn't work, you begged. So they took this poor man and they laid him at what they probably figured would have been a good place maybe to get a small meal from where this rich man was at. Well, the Scripture says he desired to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Didn't say he got them. It just says he desired it. I don't know if he throwed him something every now and again or not, but he was there. It looked like Lazarus was the poor man in that whole story till you come to what? Till you come to what, beloved? Till you come to the end of the thing. And when you come to the end of the thing, it says Lazarus died, and it says that the rich man died. I don't know if they died on the same day, but it seems to indicate they might have died on the same day. But the day they died, that rich man, when you read the text in Luke 16, it says, in hell he opened up his eyes being in torment. Y'all believe in hell as much as you believe in heaven? I do. I mean, when you're telling people they need to be saved, you need to tell them what they need to be saved from. It is such a place as that. And Luke 16 plainly shows you that when this man died, he didn't go there because he was rich. He went there because he never trusted the gospel. Lazarus, on the other hand, he died, and it says he was carried by the angels. He didn't die. You know, none of God's sheep die alone. He was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom, the abode of Abraham. I think it's just another name for heaven. I really do. He took him to glory. He saved his soul.
Hey, can I ask you a question? Which one was rich? Lazarus was the rich man. That's the moral of that whole story. True riches doesn't show up until the day you die. Rich men oftentimes leave everything they got behind. That's why it's so vain. Listen, I want my family, I want my sons to be successful. But I want you to hear me. I want you to hear me. You're not a success if you die and go to hell at the end of your days. It makes me sick today. We drive, people drive children to be successful in this world. I think you need to tell them about Jesus so that they can have eternal life and have victory over death. Oh, God's people say it. I think that's what makes more sense. That's what I desire more than anything else. How about you? That's what I desire more than anything. All these things, all this money, and all these homes, and all these cars, and all these things that people live their life for don't mean nothing the day you die. You don't ever come and see me do a service. I say, well, now, he had an awful nice car before he passed on. Nobody talks that way. Because on that day, it doesn't matter. What matters, whether or not you have eternal life, what matters, whether or not you're with Jesus. And we have the treasure of the gospel in this earthen vessel, and we need to share it. I want you to have today, listen to me, I want you to have the treasure that I have, the riches that I have. Let me name some of them. Are you ready? Number one, we got forgiveness of sins. Romans 4 says, blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. He doesn't charge your sin to you when you're born again. You know where my sin's charged to, Larry? My sins being imputed, charged to Jesus Christ. And he paid my account in full. All God's people said. Now that's rich. If that's all I had, I'm a rich man. Number two, I got a home in the Father's house. John 14, 1 through 3. Jesus said, in my Father's house are many dwelling places. It means there's plenty of room there. I'm going to tell you something this morning. Plenty of room for you too. You want to go? You want to go? Boy, I want you to. I'd like to shake some people saved, but I can't. You can't shake anybody saved. All you do is tell them. And you have to have the prompting of the Spirit of God. And that makes them want to be saved. All God's people say. I got a home in heaven. You know, I was thinking about it this week. I'm 57. And that ain't real old. You think it's real old, but it ain't real old. But I was thinking, man, 13 years of that 3 score and 10, you know how you do. I'm not going to be here much longer. And I think how vain of a life it is not to know Jesus. And how vain of a life it is not to have everlasting life. How vain of a life would that be? I mean, each tick of the clock just brings me another day closer to paradise is the way I look at it. And without Jesus and without eternal life, what a vain life it would be. I have this riches because of the gospel. I have the gospel in me. But here's some of the riches that comes when you trust the gospel. Forgiveness of sin, home in the Father's house. I'm a child of the King. I'm an heir to a kingdom that'll last forever. Romans 6:23 says, that we have everlasting life. Wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is everlasting life. What's the difference between a wage and a gift? A wage is something you earn. I've got wages before, still do get wages. A wage is something that you work for and earn. But you'll notice it didn't call eternal life a wage. It called eternal life a what, beloved? It's a gift. A gift is something someone else worked for, paid for, wraps it up, and gives it to you. And that's what Jesus did. Amen. Jesus worked for it, but living a 100% perfect life. Went to Calvary and paid your debt. And he gives you everlasting life. I was under a condemnation. Also, no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. Is that riches? The word condemnation in Romans 8:1 means damnatory sentence. I was under a damnatory sentence, but I've been set free from the bondage of that. I'm not worried about hell. Look up here at this old Baptist preacher. I'm not worried in the least about hell, because Jesus paid it all. And Jesus promised me that there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. But where you got to be, beloved, you got to be in Christ. How you get in? It's a faith access. You get in by faith, by believing, trusting that Jesus died and rose again for you. Number six, here's the next riches, imputed righteousness. Matthew 6:33 says to have His kingdom. He says, seek ye first His kingdom. Let me say it one more time. Seek ye first His kingdom and what else? You remember the rest of it? His righteousness. So have His kingdom, you got to have His righteousness. Hey, how much righteous? How many times have I done this? How much righteousness does it take to go to heaven? 100%. That leaves everybody here out unless you got Christ's righteousness. The only perfect man, and everybody, even sinners, say it, the only perfect man that ever walked this planet was Jesus. He was 100% righteous. And when you trust Him as your Savior, He charges to your account His righteousness. That's why when you go to glory, you see glory in the book of Revelations. Everybody in heaven has on a white robe. That white robe represents the righteousness of Jesus Christ. That means they all got there the exact same way. That's riches. Look at that. Forgiveness of sins, home in the Father's house, child of the King, everlasting life, no condemnation, imputed righteousness, and victory over what? Victory over death. Hey, Eddie, you got one of those things. You're rich. And that's just seven. I could give you seven more. Then we'll be here all day. God's blessed us. Well, that's the treasure that we have. Let's go back to our text. I'm going to start to wind this up. Let's go back to our text. 2 Corinthians 4:7. 2 Corinthians 4:7. Look at it again. We have this treasure. What's this treasure now? The gospel. Mentions it twice in the text. We have this treasure. You see it in verse 4, mentions the gospel. Mentions it again in verse 3. The gospel is a treasure. Why does it call the gospel a treasure again? It makes you rich. It makes you rich. The moment you receive it, it makes you rich. You become a rich person that very, very moment. Okay? So we have this treasure in a clay pot. Now, you're looking at me right now. You're looking at my clay pot. I'm living in a clay pot right now. But I got a treasure in here, in my clay pot. And guess what? I'm trying to dispense that out to other people. And if you're here today and you're born again and you know Christ as your Savior, you got the treasure in your clay pot too. One of these days, this clay pot's going to get a different exterior one of these days. I'm going to get a new body one of these days. It's going to never get sick, never sin, never die, and guess what? Never grow old. Think about that. What a glorious thing we got coming. It's glorious to be saved. So, we're in our clay pot right now. And the treasure that we have in this clay pot is the gospel. That's the treasure that we have. And what do we need to do with it? We need to dispense it out. We need to share it with other people. I think what happens, beloved, is we get so wrapped up with worldly things that it steals our mind, and we don't keep the main thing the main thing. Hey, the main thing is Christ and our service to Christ. If you're here and born again and you've trusted Jesus, you're a servant of God. You read in the book of Revelations, I think it's 22:3. It says, my servants will serve me. You say, what are we going to do in heaven? I'm going to float on a cloud and I'm going to strum a harp. No, it says in Revelations, my servants will serve me. You know what I like doing better than anything else? I like serving the Lord. I like serving the Lord. I like praying to Him. I like reading His book. I like coming to His house. I like hearing preachers preach, good preachers. I love hearing good, solid preachers preach God's Word. Man, I love God. I like to be with God's people. Think about that. And one of these days, One of these days, this old clay pot's going to be there. We have a treasure in a what again? What kind of vessel? In a clay pot. What is that treasure again? It's the gospel. Have you been dispensing it out? I've told you this a bunch of times before. I've always been intrigued. I always thought this was awesome. But in John 4, when it tells you about the woman at the well, I'm going to meet that old girl one of these days. I don't know what her name is. She's got a name, but one of these days I'm going to meet her because she's with the Lord in heaven. But boy, you talk about a wicked woman. She had five husbands and was living with a man. And she came at noon to get water in John chapter 4. And she came by herself. Usually the women went early in the morning. Does anybody know why? Because it was cool. Water's heavy. And, of course, women like to have other women go along with them. But this woman was by herself. You know why? She was an outcast. She was a Samaritan, so she was an outcast among outcasts. She was. So she's sitting there on that well, and Jesus came, and he witnessed to her. And he revealed to her, he said, that I am the Messiah. I that speak to you am he. You remember what that woman did? She hadn't been saved 5 minutes. She didn't have a degree in theology. She didn't have any of the things that we have to dispense the gospel with. You know what she did? She ran in that city. I'd have been embarrassed. I'd be afraid that somebody would think I was goofy. I'd be afraid what people might think. I'd be afraid what people might say. That hinders a lot, doesn't it? But if she went in there, I don't know how she did it. I don't know if she went to the town square or what. But she said, come and see the man, which told me everything, whichever I did. And then she said, is not this the Messiah's? You know what the Bible says? That whole town turned out because of the saying of that woman. She had that treasure in her clay pot. She had a treasure in her clay pot. She didn't have it in her 5 minutes. And buddy, she wanted somebody else to know about this man. All God's people said. Isn't that a glorious thing? She didn't care what people thought. That's what's hindering the Lord's people. You worry too much about what people think. We don't need to be worried about what people think. We need to be worried about what God thinks. And we need to share that message with other people. She didn't care what they thought. I imagine she was brash, rough. But she had a treasure now in her clay pot. And she wanted to share that. She wanted her people. Though she was an outcast amongst outcasts, she wanted her people to hear it. She did. Was it perfect? Probably no. But buddy, they came out to see Jesus. And they became believers on Jesus. Big revival in Samaria. Big revival. I say this a lot and we'll say it. I'm almost done. What was the disciples doing? What did they go in after? They going in after to eat. They were Baptists. They were going in to eat. Yeah, they have to eat before they do anything. I mean, that's the first thing that's going to have to happen. We got to eat first. Well, I'll tell you what. They had that same treasure in their clay pot. They had the exact same treasure in their clay pot. Simon Peter was there. James was there. Don't get on them too bad. They did a lot of witnessing while they were here. I mean, these men were soul winners. They really did. They went out and they witnessed and witnessed and witnessed. What I'm just trying to point out is we need to recognize what we got and not set on it. Share it. All God's people say it. And when that person trusts the gospel message, they become rich. Hey, how about you today? Don't you think it's about time that you trust the Lord? I've told you, and I've told you, and I've told you. How about today? How about today? We're going to have a word of prayer here in a little bit. The Bible says that whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be what? Do you got an illustration of it in the Bible? Thief on the cross did that, didn't he? Dead and lost as could be, made one call. Didn't understand probably everything. He understood his life after this and then called and asked Jesus to save him. He said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Realizing that Jesus had a kingdom, that means Jesus was also a king, and he wanted to be a part of it. Realized there's a life after this one, and he wanted to go there. Didn't have a lot to offer. He just come as he was. How about today? How about today? Okay. Let's all stand. We're going to have a word of prayer. And then I'm going to ask you today, if you'd like to talk to me after the baptism, I'm going to ask you to come on up. Maybe you got questions for me. Come on up after the baptism. I want to ask you to stay. We'll bring Darren and Nicole up, and we're going to baptize here in just a little bit. We're going to do a little bit more singing, and then we're going to do the dipping here today. But you can come up. I'll come right down and talk to you after the services, and we'll talk to you about your soul. If you're here today and you don't realize whether you're saved or not for sure, you need to make your election and your calling sure. Don't leave this place unless you know. Nothing further. Brother Lee, would you close out this portion of our service, please?